When people visualize Moses, it's either him holding up his hands to part the Red Sea or holding up 10 commandments on 2 stone tablets, or it's him bowing down before a burning bush that doesn't burn up. Today's burning bush story in Exodus is iconic. You can see it in your mind, probably the way it looked in the children's Bible storybook you grew up with. But really, what's up in this otherworldly scene? Sure, this is the call of Moses to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to free the Hebrews from slavery. Everything in the storyline is about that call. God issuing the call from the bush, Moses objecting, God reassuring, Moses objecting again, God offering a compromise, Moses finally saying yes. And actually, we don't hear a verbal yes from Moses. He just ends up going. The lesson we've been taught from this story in children's Sunday school or preachers' pulpits is a lesson to always say yes to God and say it right away. Good lesson, of course. It's good to say yes. But we never say yes to God in a vacuum. There is always a backdrop to that yes. There is a context. The story from Exodus is about Moses and God establishing a context, establishing a relationship, so that Moses has a context in which he can say yes, even if reluctantly. So this story is about relationship and identity. You know, in everyday life, if a stranger asks you to do something out of the blue, yes does not come immediately, if at all. You need to know who is asking and who you are in relation to the one asking. We say, "Who are you and why do you ask me?" That's the bare minimum of context that we need to know how to respond to a request. If someone at an intersection holds a cardboard sign toward me that asks me to give money for food or shelter, and I keep my window rolled up and look in another direction, I am probably, rightly or wrongly, making a couple calculations. One, I don't know the person who's asking this of me. And two, we don't have a real relationship and can't establish one sitting in heavy traffic for 30 seconds on Route 33. But even if I know, even if someone that I know well asks me to, say, borrow my truck, I don't hesitate because I know who the person is, and I know how we are in relationship to each other. I know because both scenarios happen regularly, and that's how I respond 99% of the time. The scenario that Moses faced in the desert was more like the cardboard sign on Route 33 than it was like a friend asking to borrow a truck. The main difference is that this cardboard sign was not asking for loose change. It was asking Moses to put his life on the line. So Moses was not, hear me now, Moses was not making a cheap excuse or a hollow protest. He asked what any rational human being would ask: who are you? And what is our relationship? In other words, why do you ask me? And why should I trust you? Moses had not been schooled in his own faith tradition. He did not go to synagogue because they weren't invented yet. Raised as a Hebrew Egyptian in Pharaoh's palace, Moses had no first-hand knowledge or second-hand knowledge of the God of Abraham, his ancestor. The burning bush was his first-time introduction. I admire Moses that he would even engage this unknown being and ask a few fact-finding questions instead of roll up the window and look in another direction. By the time Moses left this encounter, Moses and the God of his ancestors were on a first-name basis. This is where Moses learned God's name. We don't usually address God by name or even refer to God by name. We just say God, which is a title, a role, a relationship description. It's like calling someone mom or uncle, or like some of you addressing me as pastor, or Dot and Tilly calling me vicar. I'm going to miss that when they move to Iowa. Generic names like that underscore the relationship, which is great. But our formal names are also important to us. We know in our gut just how important our name is when someone mispronounces or misspells or just misses our name. It irks us deeply. Our name is closely tied to our identity. We were given a name at birth, a name that forever links us to parents and a family of origin. But sometimes people choose to change their name as their identity changes, whether because of marriage or a shift in gender identity or reclaiming a particular ethnic or racial heritage or a religious conversion. For all those reasons, people change their names sometimes. And we all need people to say our name and say it correctly. Our name signals our identity to others, and hearing others say our name signals their respect for our identity. Knowing and speaking each other's names is not a casual thing. Names matter because relationships matter. So if God was asking Moses to trust God with his life, Moses better well know God's name for his own reassurance and to reassure his people back in Egypt. So then comes this interesting banter back and forth between God and Moses, centered on the who question. Both God and Moses were finishing the phrase, I am. God calls from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses answers, here I am. That's the first statement of identity. I am one who is present and who is attentive. I'm listening. Then God gives a quick rundown of Moses' assignment, and Moses says, I am unworthy. Or literally, who am I to do such a thing? God's reply was also one of presence. I am with you. You will not be alone. I will go with you. Then Moses turns the question around. Who are you? I need to know your name. If I go, I need to be able to say who sent me. Then God gives this oft-quoted and cryptic answer. I am who I am. Or translated literally, I will be who I will be. I am the essence of being, without whom there would be no being. Introduce me that way to your people. You can trust me just as I trust you. It was only then, after God so generously revealed God's self, God's name to Moses, that Moses deeply offended God. He gave God a whole list of his own I am statements. But, I am clumsy in my choice of words. I am slow of speech. I am inarticulate. I am tongue-tied. I am unworthy. Then God gets hot. Literally, it says, the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And while God was angry, get this, while God was angry, God gives Moses what he wants, a way out, a substitute, someone to speak for him. And there ends our reading. Now, there's an awful lot more to explore in this story of Moses, so go home and read Exodus. But for now, let me leave you with this observation. After reading this dialogue, I thought, sounds like two kids in a playground argument. It's the old am not, are too argument. Except instead of trading insults, like we sometimes do in playgrounds, God is trying to help Moses see something worthy in himself. God bestows worth on Moses just by showing up and asking for something important from him. But Moses retorts, I am not worthy. I am not able. And God retorts right back, you are too. Am not. Are too. Am not. Are too. Until it just gets too much for God and God gets mad and lets Moses get his way. God drops the argument, and God just rolls with Moses, like he is. I wonder if God still works that way with us. Not with a spectacle of burning bushes, probably, but when we push back against God's purpose for our lives, claiming ignorance, or fear, or incompetence. Whenever we say to God, am not, God comes back with, are too. I am who I am. I am with you, and that makes you worthy. And it makes you capable of saying yes. There's a ritual that we do in the church that's a vivid and visceral reminder of the kind of relationship we have with God in Christ. It is communion. God's withness is powerfully symbolized in the bread and cup. At the table, God says to us, I am who I am. And I am with you in Christ. And at the table, our response is the same as Moses. Here I am. I am here. And on this first Sunday in October, Worldwide Communion Sunday, we are further reminded of our withness with other Christians all over this world. Our siblings in faith everywhere are celebrating at the table today, from Colombia to the Congo, from Haiti to Hungary, from Bangladesh to border towns along our southern border. Whether in large numbers or small, whether in comfort or in crisis, we are in communion today with the God who is and will be, and we are with each other. Let us break bread together. Let us drink wine together. Let us praise God together.